Hear God's word as it comes to us in the Old Testament from Psalm 148, a psalm of David's praise in the knowledge of all the good things that God has given to him. David responds and writes Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you brightest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He set them in place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean's depths. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars. Wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds. Kings of the earth and of all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his saints of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. The beauty of that psalm is that David captures the something that you and I oftentimes forget, that everything around us praises God, from the smallest creature to the largest creature in the world. Each is a creation of God, and all of God's creation continually and perpetually praises him. We are a part of that creation, and we are a part of the praise that we give back to that same God, as David did in Psalm 148. Now unto the gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, beginning our reading at the 22nd verse. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." So far, God's word from the Old Testament, from the book of Isaiah, from the Psalms, and from the gospel according to Luke. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray together. Come to us, Father, to teach us and to guide us in these moments, that my words may be a reflection of your will within the lives of your people, and that those things upon which we dwell and think in these few moments may somehow strengthen our faith, give us something for the new week that we are about to enter in, and the new year which is even upon us. Come to us and speak to us, for we are ready and we wait. So come, in the name of Christ. Amen. There are three things that come to my mind when I look at the scriptures that I read with you this morning. Number one, Joseph and Mary. Number two, an old man named Simeon. Number three, you and me. Those three particular individuals, as we begin to mesh them together, I think are the things that are in the crux of this story, which Simeon shows to Mary and to Joseph as they seize the Son, Jesus Christ. Mary and Joseph's life has been radically and altered and changed, and it will never, ever be the same. What has happened in Bethlehem now is going to begin to affect their lives. What has already happened in Bethlehem has already begun to affect their lives. They have been visited by angels. They have been visited by shepherds. And now they're on the run in the things that they will begin to do in their lives as God begins to lead them. There will be a portion of their life when God will say to them, get out of here and go to Egypt. Herod is going to kill every baby under the age of 2. Get out of here and go to Egypt. God will lead them in all of the things that will transpire in their lives. And God will be a part of them in the process of watching this little baby grow into manhood as they somehow guide him and direct him, and as they realize that in the presence of God, this is the working of God. So you put Mary and Joseph over here and realize all of the change that comes into their life. Then you go to the temple, and here's an old man who's been very devout and very religious all of his life. He's been there to serve God in the temple. And as he is serving God in the temple, there's one thing that he wants more than anything else in his whole life. He wants to be able to see the Messiah. He has heard so much about him. He has learned about him. He has read about him. He's waiting for him. He's anticipating him. He's desiring him. And he bargains with God and says, let me see the Messiah before I die. And then I will be content. And then I will die in peace. There's you and me. We stand between 2 years. We hurry to get into the new year, and we forget about the old year. There should be a period of time in our life when we stop before we ever get to the new year, when we go back to the old year, and where we look at all the things that God has done in our lives, when we begin to see all of those things in which God has blessed us, when we begin to see how God has guided us and brought us through situations and circumstances that we could have never gotten through by ourselves. We need to go back to the old year before we can ever begin to appreciate the new year. We need to go back to the old year in gratitude, in anticipation for what will be coming in the new year, but also gratitude for what came in the year behind us. It may have been a tough year. There may have been difficult days in our lives in the last year, but the one thing that we can all see and all can see focused upon is that whatever happened in your life or in my life last year was not unknown to God. God was a part of it. God was there to bless you in everything that you experienced, in all the encounters through which you went. So those things must be seen and appreciated before we can even begin to welcome the new year. So I would urge you, before you welcome in the new year, take some time, sit down, remember, contemplate, think, and thank God for all the things that you've had in the old year. Now, we're going to mesh those all together in this old man named Simeon. Please, God, don't let me die until I see the Messiah. That's all Simeon is asking for. Not wealth, not power. Nothing like that. Only to see the Messiah before I die. You've already done that. You just did it in a thing called Christmas. You came here to worship God on Christmas Eve because you knew that the Messiah has come. You have already seen the Messiah. You've seen him in the manger. You've seen him in the teachings that he gives to you in the life that he lives. And you will ultimately see him as he hangs upon the cross, as he dies for your sins and for the sins of the world. All of those are meshed together in this old man named Simeon. Because now, Mary and Joseph have to take this new baby that they have to the temple. They have to do two things. They have to purify Mary, first of all, because she's had a child. And there's an act of purification that she has to go through in order to once again be able to worship God and to see God's blessings. And if you go back to the book of Leviticus, you'll read that when the woman has given childbirth, she must go to the temple and give a lamb without spot or blemish. Or, if you're poor, 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons. Mary and Joseph were poor people. They didn't have the gold, frankincense, and myrrh that we oftentimes give them at the stable. That doesn't come until the wise men come 2 years later. So they were poor people, and they go to the temple and they offer 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons. in order that Mary will now be sanctified in the presence of God one more time. And the second step is to consecrate Jesus Christ to the dedication of his life to God. The Old Testament law says that the firstborn son of every woman is to be consecrated and given to God. Simeon and Eli. The story is there as plain as day. As all of the prayers of this old woman finally are answered, and she is given a son called Samuel. And that son Samuel is taken to an old priest called Eli, and he is consecrated and dedicated as a priest. Each of the firstborn that come into the world are dedicated and given to God. And it holds true with Mary and Joseph. It holds true with Elizabeth and Zechariah. In the gift of John, the one who will proclaim and announce his coming is already named before he is born, and he is the first one to open the womb of an old woman named Elizabeth. In her old age, she now gives birth to a child, and it's a son, the first son she's ever born in her life. Maybe the last, we don't know. But that son must also be consecrated and given to God. And finally, Zechariah can speak after 9 months. When they bring this young baby to the church, to the temple to be consecrated, they're going to call him the son of John. They're going to call him Zechariah. They're going to give him some name that is not John. And when the voice comes out of this old man's mouth, he says, "You shall call his name John." The young baby that Mary and Joseph bring to the old priest is not named the son of Joseph. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Both are named before they are ever conceived in their mother's wombs. Both are consecrated to God to show the proclamation of God's love and the gift of redemption as that comes into the world through a man named John and a young man by the name of Jesus Christ. The old priest Zechariah has been there many times in his service and held baby after baby to consecrate them to God. But somehow, by the working of the Holy Spirit, he recognizes Jesus Christ, and he realizes that in his arms he is holding the Messiah. He is holding the Son of God. And all that he has asked of God now is quickly and easily granted to him. "Let me live long enough to see the Messiah, and then I am ready to die." He recognizes, he knows who he is, and in the recognition, he finds the fulfillment of God's promise. You will never find the fulfillment of God's promise in your life until you recognize who he is, just like Simeon did. You have to recognize him as the Son of God. You have to recognize him as the Messiah. You have to recognize him as your Savior. And only when you do will you find exactly what Simeon was asking for: the ability to live and the ability to die. For once you know who he is, you no longer need to fear death. He has lived for you. He has died for you. He has redeemed you. He has promised you the gift of life. And once you know who he is, all of that begins to fall into place. Each of the gifts that God gives to us are contingent upon our relationship with the Messiah. We need to know who he is. We need to find him in our lives before we die. We need to find him in our lives in order that we may even begin to live. And it all takes place in a moment there in the temple. In the twinkling of an eye, God works in the life of this old man. And he realizes that his prayer has been answered. He holds in his arms the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, not in the lineage of David alone, but in the lineage of God Almighty himself. And he's not named in the lineage of David. He is named Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All that he has wanted to see, he is now able to find. And in what he finds, he is able to face death based upon the fact that the request that he has made to God is fulfilled and the promise of God is a realistic response in his life. The only way you and I are going to be able to die in peace is found in Jesus Christ. You and I can feel and sense and know the same thing that this old priest knew in that temple, that Jesus comes into the world to be a part of my life, that Jesus comes into the world to give me life, that Jesus comes into the world to give me hope and promise beyond life and even beyond death. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. And I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be. That's Jesus' promise to you and me. That's the same promise that he gave to this old priest, that now he knows the Messiah. Now he knows the Son of God. Now he doesn't have to fear anything at all, not even death. It's the same feeling that I'm sure John the Baptist must have had that day when he's in the River Jordan baptizing people. And all of a sudden he turns around and there he is. He's standing on the shore. And he comes to John and says, "You need to baptize me." And John says, "No, if anybody should be baptized, you should baptize me." But Jesus says, "No, I have to be baptized like everybody who will believe in me." And John baptizes the Son of God. And hears a voice from the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." Simeon heard no voice, but he realized who he was holding. And in the knowledge of what he is holding in that baby, he knows that his prayer has been answered. And the answer comes back from God to be recognized and now to be acted upon. Simeon doesn't keep this to himself. He begins to praise what he is holding in his arms in this baby and says, "This is the God's promise to us. This is the Messiah. This is the one that will divide Israel. This is the one that will come into the lives of people to make them make a decision as to whether he is the Son of God or not. This is the one, Mary, who is going to drive a sword through your heart." And Mary, 30 some odd years later, would stand at the foot of his cross and watch him die as a common criminal. And the piercing of the sword would go through her heart. It's the joy of an old man who must also prophesy, who must tell other people what he is experiencing now as he is holding this baby. He must tell who he is. He must tell what he will do. It is the joy of what he will bring into the world. It is the pain that he will bring into the world. And Mary will know and experience that pain. All of this an old man talks about as he holds a young baby in his arms. That this is the working of God. This is the wonder of God. And I cannot keep that to myself. Mary and Joseph would do exactly what the law asked them to do and said for them to do with baby Jesus. You and I are called upon by that same Jesus to do the things that he calls us to do and be in the world in which we live. We cannot experience the blessings of God in our lives without sharing those blessings with other people around us. Simeon, as an old man, has a message for everybody in that temple that day. He has a message for you and for me. The Messiah has come. You are a part of the Messiah. God has blessed you in the gift of that baby, and you know the fulfillment of God's promise and the realization of God's love in your life. You cannot keep that to yourself. It has got to affect your life in some way, like it affected the life of Simeon and the life of Mary and Joseph. So before you end the old year, go back and find the things in which God has walked with you, and then go into the new year with confidence, with purpose, with meaning, with ideas that you will find in that new year. go into the new year like Simeon and say, okay, God, here I am. I need you to bless me. I would like these to be my blessings. And whatever you give to me, I will see as a blessing. And when I find those blessings, I will share those with other people. It's up to you, it's up to me, like it was Mary and Joseph, and like it was Simeon. Who is this baby? His name is Jesus. He will save you from your sins. He will show you God's love. He will give you God's compassion and God's mercy. He will give you peace. He will give you promise. And you hold him in the same way that Simeon held him. For you know who he is, the Messiah. Let us pray. Jesus, if it was possible somehow for us this morning to reach out and touch you, to hold you and embrace you, and simply say to you, you are my Messiah. You have come to set me free. You have come to make me a child of God. You have come to hear my prayers. You have come to love me. Grant us the ability to do that. As we begin a new year, hold us, Lord Jesus, as we reach out to hold you. For we ask it in your name. Amen.